After that, it all went squirrely because we got involved. Amen. So it's been a matter of making it right since the fall of man. Thank God for Jesus Christ. He made it right for us all, right? So without him, we can do nothing. So then, can we actually do anything at all for our own salvation? Because it's he that begun the good work in us that will also complete it, won't he? So that's important. You guys need to know that. So if, we're just thinking this through now, if we cannot save ourselves, if we cannot save ourselves, that it is Christ and him crucified, and it's Christ plus nothing else, nothing. That means you and I can't do anything to save ourselves because he rescued us. He saved us. Yes or no? So it's done. Is it done? It is done. According to the Spirit, and legally, it's complete. Right? Legally, it's complete. So then what's the random element in the whole thing? The quality of the life that we live on the earth. We have to continue to believe to the end of our hope. Right? All the way to the end of our hope, we have to continue to believe. So if it's Jesus plus nothing, and all we need to do is believe that until the end of our hope, we shall have that which we're hoping for, right? Which he accomplished for us. So then, what's our part? Don't be silent too long or they'll have to cut this quietness out. Huh?
Engage.
To engage, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in the meantime, right? Because he's filling us and we're to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So, as Pastor Trey was teaching this morning about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit, right? The flesh tries to work and accomplish something, but the Spirit doesn't. We don't have to accomplish anything in the Spirit. It's already true. I want you to get your tickers going. It's already true. It's already finished. It's already complete. The book has been written. The movie's been made. It's done. We're just on a timeline walking it out, aren't we? So if we believe that the end has already been completed, that Jesus paid it all, therefore, all we need to do along the way is believe. Right? That is the key, she says, to believe. We have to believe that it's already done. So, here's some things I want to help with. If I can't do anything to actually save myself, Jesus already did it all, then it's really about renewing my mind. It's really just about renewing my mind. That's all it's about. Because it's already a done deal. There's only two things that can help you at all with your quality of life in this world. What are those two things, Robert? Yes, those two things would be good to know. So let me ask you this. What would make your personal life perfect? And don't say if you were married to somebody else. Please do not go there. Don't do that stuff. Anyway, so just yourself. We're only thinking of yourself here. If anything was possible, anything, because anything is possible to him who believes, right? If anything was possible, how would you want your life to be? Don't answer. Just think about it. How would, if anything, truly anything, now, you're not going to be silly and be younger than you are now, because you probably could be, but I'm not at that place where I can agree with you in faith yet. Okay, it's probably possible. I'm just not there yet. So let's just say from where we're at right now in this chapter of our lives, if you want to steer the rest of your life in a direction, what would you actually want? How would you want it to be? Would you want it to be different at all? I'm not trying to get a response. I want you to think. Okay? Because here's what I don't think a lot of people understand. You're in charge of that direction. You decide what you want in this life, and God said yes and amen in Christ, you can have it. Yes. Absolutely yes. If you want health in your body, yes. If you want prosperity, yes. If you want a healthy, vivacious life, yes. Whatever it is, yes. If it really is yes, then what are the obstacles to that yes manifesting? He says our focus. Yes, that is true. Our focus is the problem. Let me ask you this question, and then I'm going to pull this all three things together because I've only done one thing. Here's another thing to think about. Do we have the Spirit of God in us? As a Christian, we say, yes, we do, right? And as Pastor Trey's talking about, the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit is nothing we can ask for. You can ask for it all day long. God doesn't give it to you if you ask for it. He doesn't give it to you if you chase it. He doesn't give it to you if you read enough scriptures. You cannot earn the fruit of the Spirit. You can't be given the fruit of the Spirit as a gift. God will not give it to you if you ask for it. It's not His to give. The fruit of the Spirit is the byproduct of a relationship with God. It comes because you fellowship with God. It's the only way it comes, by fellowshipping with Him. That is the fruit of the relationship with Him. Okay? So you can tell how a person is walking with the Lord by how much of that fruit is demonstrated in their life. You can't tell somebody, I have joy. No. When I see you, I'll know if you have joy or not. I have peace. Well, when I see you, I'll know if you have peace or not. I'll see it, right? We're all fruit inspectors. We know them by what? Their fruit, according to Romans chapter 8. We know them according to their fruit. Right? That's not Romans chapter 8. That is Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Okay, so fruit inspectors. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, all of those. Through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, if you can have anything, you can do anything for the Lord, you can live any godly way that you would like on this earth. What is the one thing by having the Spirit of God in you that shows the world that the Spirit of God is in you?
Fruit
of the Spirit. There's what's? Because you get all of them.
All or nothing.
You get all of them.
It's His, not ours.
It's His. That's right. What's the second thing? What's the second thing that shows the world that God is with you? No. No.
It shows the world
that God is with you.
Fruit.
No. One more chance. Shout it out. One more person be wrong. Go ahead. Peace. No, that's a fruit. Power. Power. The power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Paul says, I do not come in eloquence of speech, but of power. Demonstrating the Spirit of God. Okay? Jesus says, if you don't believe me for what I'm telling you, believe me for the miracles that God's with me because of the miracles. Okay? Second byproduct of the relationship with Jesus Christ, power. Power. People always get quiet with the power one because we can believe for kindness to manifest in us, right? We can even believe for a little bit of peace in our life. We can believe for some level of love or joy. But when I talk to people, and even myself at times, about the power of God operating through you to prove that God is with you, sometimes we have a little deficiency in that. Okay? Do you know why? Huh? Unbelief, doubt. I'll tell you how to cure that. More intimacy with Him. More intimacy with Him will cure the doubt of all of that through a closer relationship with Him in communion. And I've told you guys before, and I stick by it, this is a stumpism, is that the soul is what? Mind, will, and emotion. Right? We believe that? Few of us have ever studied that out. Most of us are believing somebody else who studied that out and told us it's mind, will, and emotion. Is that true or not? Okay. Most of us have heard it from somebody else or believed another source, and we've accepted that the soul is a mind, will, and emotion, right? Well, I will tell you that the spirit, the attributes of the spirit are what? And any of you been in my classes, you already know. And one other. He got 2 out of 3 because he reads the same books I do. Watchman Nee, Spiritual Man. Communion also. 3 things, aspects of your spirit. If you can believe the soul is your mind, will, and emotions, which is actually your life, then believe this. In the spirit, you have 3 aspects also. Your communion with God, your conscience, and intuition or divine inspiration. Okay, those are the aspects of your spirit, and that's the only place growth comes in the spirit, is only from that, not from anything else. That's where growth comes, through communion with God, having a clear conscience, following that, and intuition, divine flow, inspiration of God. That's how He takes what's in the spirit and deposited it to you. If your conscience is hardened, if your conscience is cluttered, if you aren't following your conscience, it shuts the door to intimacy with God. You have to have a clear conscience to have clear intimacy with God. When you have clear intimacy with God, communion is established, and in that communion, intuition and divine flow comes out of that. Okay? And that's being open to the things of God, to the personage of God. A lot of us spend a lot of time doing wonderful, wonderful things and not following intuition, not following a clear conscience, not walking in a communion of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that you are, your awareness is not focused in the world any longer. Your awareness is focused on the Holy Spirit, who is present with us always. Can you hear what I'm telling you right now? Okay? It's very simple to have our awareness focused in the natural to be productive as people. But if it doesn't come from intuition, divine flow, through a clear conscience with communion with God, it's not spiritual. It's earthly. It's for here on this realm. But to grow for the God's kingdom, we have to open up those aspects of our spirit man, right? Paul did a great job of that. So, as I went back to in the very beginning, anything that you want is possible, if you'll believe. But if you're not in a good, solid communion with God, it's almost like you're standing alone trying to believe to get something from God. On your own. But if you're in a close communion relationship with Him, you're not standing alone. You're believing for what you're actually entitled to. Because it's okay, because He's there for us to give us the kingdom of God. Freely give us the kingdom of God. Freely glorify Himself through us. Freely. Right? We could study, and we can learn genealogies, we can learn customs, we can learn all kinds of things about history out of the Bible. But only by the revealed Word of God does light enter us. Okay? Does the revelation expand? Because the kingdom of God is an entire realm that's with men now on the earth. Right? Aren't you and I the ones that say, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth through me, just like it is in heaven. Isn't that how it goes? I might have thrown one or two words in there. Not many. I was just making it mine. Right? So, God gives it to us. So, in my experience, which is small compared to some of you guys, in my experience, I've learned this. Fretting, worrying, striving, hoping, and I don't mean godly hoping, because godly hoping is joyful expectation for what you already know is yours, and it's coming. That's godly hope. It's joyful expectation for what is already yours that is coming. Okay? Worldly hope is maybe. Maybe I'll get it, maybe I won't. That's worldly hope. Okay? We need to not be doing that and be doing this instead. So I have reduced it down to a formula, you guys. Isn't that exciting? Ready? Paul gave me the formula. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Right? It says to enter his courts with what? Praise. Praise, gladness, joy. We'll just use any of those words. They're fine. Okay? So that's what gets us into his presence is praise. Rejoicing. Okay? After we're into his presence, what is it? What kind of an attitude in our heart are we supposed to have? According to Paul. Thankful. You guys can go ahead and look at the sheets I gave you for any cheating notes if you want to know what the three topics are, okay? Okay? Thankful. Okay? And we have not been called to curse, but to bless. Amen. So if we can do those three things, if we can really actually do those three things, you know what? Nothing will be withheld from you. Nothing. If you can genuinely come into the presence of God rejoicing with a thankful heart, blessing, saying good things, nothing will be withheld from you if that is your dominant attitude in life. So, I'm kind of combining two teachings, one that I did on Wednesday night and one that I did Thursday morning, and I'm just kind of trying to pull these two things together because here's what I've noticed. All right, I'm just talking about me right now, okay? You guys are, what's the word? Amnesty, you know, when they're not charged with it, just me. I'm guilty, you're innocent. I'll say it that way. And here's what it is. I'm actually guilty of trying to do things to be spiritual sometimes. I am. I'm actually, yes, to actually be like godly. I'm actually guilty of doing that sometimes. I'm actually guilty of trying to honor the Lord in the way that I live my life. Do you know what that's all dead works? You know what's living works? Is out of the abundance of a joyful, thankful, blessed life because I'm so full that out of my fullness, I share that fullness with others. If ever I'm empty trying to do something for the Lord, it's my flesh doing it. If I will stay in a communion relationship with Him through thanksgiving, righteousness, and blessing, I am so full all the time that I can't help but be like a walking, talking, static electric ball. You guys know what static electricity is? When you scrape your foot on the carpet, new carpet, you get close to somebody, a bang, that shock, that spark flies right off of you to them. Static electricity. I'm telling you, when you're so full like that, it just goes on to other people. You don't even have to try. You get close and it goes, and shoots right into them. All right? So, I gave you these sheets. And these sheets have really helped me. So I thought it'd be good to help you. Since I knew it was going to be a very, very small crowd, I knew we were going to only have the best people here today. So, I thought, let's do think on these things. I made these sheets, which are like so great, because here's the thing. If you can just fill yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with Father God, with the fact that you are a citizen of heaven, really, nothing will be withheld from you in the kingdom. Whatever thing you say will come to pass. Whatever you say will come to pass. Because of your communion with God, you'll have a clear conscience, so your heart won't doubt. You won't be condemned. So that whatever you say will actually come to pass. When you're in that communion with God, it says if there's anything in your heart, in Mark 11, it says towards another person, forgive them right then on the spot. Okay? Because the more you start doing these things that I'm about to talk about, the higher you're going to go in your elevation. And I don't know how to explain this where some group is not going to be tweaked about it. But it's raising up your song, your frequency, your note, your vibration, your whatever you want to call it. Everything in this world is moving, thanks to these quantum theorist guys. We know that everything's vibrating. Everything's sending out a signal. Everything's got a frequency of vibrations. Everything. There's absolutely nothing that does not. Actually, even the nothing has a frequency. Because the nothing is not genuinely the nothing. There is no nothing. Even the what we call nothing is actually something. Well, I don't know if I'm going to go dark or light, but I'm just going to say it exists. Even when you think there is not, it exists because God is there. So anyway, so everything has a frequency, and I don't know how to say it any other way, so please don't get weird. Just think of it as the 88 keys on a piano. Everything has a note. The lower the note, the more sickness you are, the more disease you have, the more depression that is, and the more your body will turn in on itself, and you'll have sickness after sickness after sickness in your body. Okay? And you won't shake it because of where you are in that frequency range. And if you'll raise your frequency up higher and higher and higher, sickness can't dwell in those higher octaves. It can't be in your body. In those higher octaves, prosperity flows to you in those higher notes. In those higher notes, gladness is a normal way of life. Joy is a normal way of life. Love is a normal way of life. Kindness is a normal way of life. What are you hearing here? The fruit of the Spirit is at this end of the scale, so let's move it this way. From the earth realm is death. But in the Spirit is life and peace. Can you think of it that way? So the low notes are death. The high notes are life and peace. They're not actual notes, but I'm trying to make it in a format that you understand. Like they used seeds and farmers in the Bible time, because that's what they did. Okay? So, we have to raise up the basic song of our heart. The basic thing that is flowing through us. Our basic point of view, our basic focus, what we call our reality. We're in charge of that. Everything we have is because of how we think. Everything. And I know everybody's got this, well, how about that car crash? How about this thing that happened to my body? Are you telling me I asked for that? No, I did not. I'm saying Your thinking is at a range of frequency that low frequencies magnetize and draw these bad things to you as a normal thing because of the pattern of the way you're thinking. You're going to draw you to you. Wherever you are, you're going to draw more of the same to you. So when you raise up higher and higher, you start drawing more of the kingdom of God, more angelic hosts, more Holy Spirit and Father God and Jesus and kingdom-mindedness. That's why he says in Colossians to set your mind on things above and not on the things on this earth. That's why he says to rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice up here. That's why he says to be thankful in all things, giving praise unto the Lord. Up, 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 up. Okay, do you hear what I'm saying? We are in charge of that. And if it's true, if it is really true that there's nothing we can do for our salvation, that Jesus paid it all, if he really paid it all, then all we can do is to give glory back to God. Right? We can give glory back to God. Because what did he say when they went crazy in Romans chapter 1 and 2? They did not glorify God as God, but they brought him down to their image. So we raise ourselves up to his image. So I want to let you know, this is not easy to do. It is not easy to have a Pollyanna, a genuine Pollyanna point of view. It's really not easy to have a genuine faith point of view. A point of view that you actually have all authority over the demonic realm, and it must obey you. It takes getting your thinking up to believe that. It takes your thinking up to get to that no sickness and no disease will come near my house, my temple, my body. It absolutely has no right to come to my body. It takes getting me up there, getting me up there. So think of it this way. The glory of God is on us. The substance of his glory is in us, right? Doesn't it say in Revelations that in heaven we're going to have no need for the sun or the moon, right? Why not? Because of the glory of God that is going to shine forth. His glory is going to be the light. The Lamb will be the light of heaven, right? The glory of God that was given to you and to me. How many verses does he say, let your light shine? Let the glory of God shine out of you. Out of you. That if you have been lit and you are a light that is lit, don't put it under a basket. Put it on a hill where it can be seen and shine. Doesn't it say in Corinthians also that his light will come upon us? Excuse me, Ephesians chapter 5. That his light will come upon us. All types of places in the Bible, in the New Testament, is it saying that we are to shine. We are children of the light, children of the day, that we walk in light. Isn't that true? Is it serious or not? Is he being real? Is it not? He means it. He actually means it. So we have to actually raise ourselves up, deliberately raise ourselves up in the presence of God through meditating with him, through talking with him, through reading the Bible, through singing songs, through singing hymns and psalms and making up new songs and praying in the Holy Spirit. For what? For what? To raise ourselves up, that the reality of the Spirit of God and my fellowship with God gets brighter and brighter and brighter, that my idea of who I am leaves this natural flesh realm and more progress is made being spirit. More of my identity is spirit. More of my identity is in the kingdom of God. More of my identity is a citizen of heaven. That the reality inside of me, because I'm not going to the world anymore for my reality, I'm a new creation. I'm a babe in Christ. I have to be a child and be converted, turning the other way. I have to repent. I have to change the way I think and let my clear conscience, communion with God, and intuition, divine inspiration, start telling me the truth of who I am, letting that bubble up in my heart that'll override all these things that the world has put inside of me, that I forgive that. I release it. I let it go. It's dead to me. It's not that that is any longer valuable to me, but this. It is no longer I who live now, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I don't live it according to the flesh anymore. I live it by faith of the Son of God now. And now that's how I focus, and that's how is the center of my gyroscope. And what's a gyroscope? It's a like a little orb that once you spin it, it always stays true. It has a power of its own that keeps you upright all the time. You can't tip it over. It'll pull right back up. It goes, it's hard to pull. It'll stand right back up again. You have that inside of you in the spirit that'll always keep you upright before the Lord. And in that place, nothing is withheld from you. Nothing. Because now you start thinking like God thinks. You start seeing the way he sees. You start relating to things the way he relates to them. And it's no longer you and I trying to get something from God, but you and I being with him. And he is so good in that communion that nothing will be withheld from us. Anything you need, just ask. You'll have it. Doesn't matter what it is. You want need another house, a car, clothing, food, money, whatever it is. It doesn't matter because you're here honoring him. Think on these things. Grab that sheet. Think on these things. Here's one for you. Okay. This comes out of Philippians chapter 4. Okay? And I taught a lot on verses 4 through 7, so this is right on verse 8, okay? So these are very helpful things. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Does he mean that? Do you think he means it? So we should be thinking on these things. So here's a list of 1 through 7. Write down for yourself things that are true. And I'm not saying this is true. What's something bad? My car breaks down every time I try to drive it. That's true. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about according to God in the Spirit, according to the kingdom of God, what is true. The devil has been defeated. That's true. What is true? When God speaks to you, he speaks the truth. John chapter 17. His word is truth. Okay? What things are true? You need to remind yourself and write down things that are true. What things are noble? Write down a bunch of things that are noble so that you can actually think on noble things. You actually have to have items written under this list. Are you with me? Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure. You know, there's scriptures that say that to the pure, all things are pure, and to the defiled, all things are defiled. There's another verse that says you are to separate the precious from the vile. That statement alone makes you think there's a lot more vile than precious. So you got to seek out the precious and pull it and extract it from the vile and then think on those things. Whatever things are lovely. Sometimes it's hard to even think of a topic to even write in here. But I'll tell you what, it'll help. Whatever things are of a good report. You have any good reports? Betty Jean didn't die. Praise God. That's a good report. That's a good report. You know that? We have a paid for building. That is a good report. You know that? We all have plenty of food. That is a good report. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are good reports. We can write those things down also. Going on to your pages. The one that says thankful, thanks, thanksgiving, and grateful. This is a great one. This is a really great one. Lord, thank you for. Now, you can do it two ways. You can do things you have already received that have materialized in the natural. And when you think about those things, you have a cheer and a joy and a glee that's inside of you. And you're truly thankful for it. And you can use that as a reminder that God answered a prayer or gave you something. And sure enough, you're thankful for it. You can also use it for faith things. Things that you call real now that have not yet manifested in the natural realm. You could be thankful for those things. And in that statement is thank you for blah, blah, blah. Past tense, first person, you actually have it already. And you can do that by faith, either way. And look at this. There's a whole bunch of scriptures. Romans 1:21, Colossians 3:15, Ephesians 5:4, Ephesians 5:20, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, 1 Timothy 2:1, and Hebrews 13:15. I said that so the people that are on the recording in the video, they will know what these verses are. There is a lot of things in the Bible that says we're supposed to be thankful all the time. Do you know what? I forget to be thankful sometimes. Do you guys ever forget to be thankful? I get so busy doing my day, solving problems, whatever the case may be, interacting with people, that I get slowly but surely into that mode. But the second that I will stop, I'm just giving you a clue here, the second I get stopped and I go, Lord, I forgot about you. Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, I just forgot about you. And the second I do that, I can feel his presence again. And then I can start being thankful again and go back and keep working again. It's very easy to do. Blessing. This is my favorite sheet for other people. This is my favorite sheet for other people. Why do you think that would be?
Because you don't like to say who you're blessing
for. I don't like to say who I'm blessing for? No, this is how I set other people free. This is how I personally set other people free. You don't want me blessing you. There's two reasons. One, things will get really, really, really good and you might not be able to handle that much goodness in your life. And two, what the heck did you do in the first place that I thought I had to start blessing you because I felt like cursing you? It says, do not curse but bless, for you are called to be a blessing, that you would receive a blessing, right? So I've got several scriptures here. Romans 12:14. I'll just read a couple of these. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Is anybody persecuting you? Does anybody give you a hard time? Is there anybody you can honestly say you don't have complete open heart to them? You need to bless them. Hebrews 6:14 says, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. That's God talking to us, right? If he's in us, isn't he going to do that with everyone that we have to do with? Galatians 3:13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. 1 Peter 3:9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. I have given an example of this a lot of times. How many of you have ever blessed anybody? 4 or 5 of you. 5 of you. 6 of you. Okay. Great. So, blessings. Okay. I'm not talking about gifts. Gifts are a blessing. Financial gifts are a blessing. Food when you're sick is a blessing. I'm not talking about gifts. Those do bless people. But blessing is to say something good. It's about speaking over them. A true blessing is something that is spoken over you, and then that manifests in their life. Okay? So the manifestation is the words doing what they were sent to do. Right? So when we bless somebody, no matter how we feel, this is a secret. Let me tell this secret. What you say is real right now is subject to change. Think about it. One piece of news can just turn everything around for you, no matter what it is that you're dealing with. The right piece of information will change everything. Will completely change the direction of everything. Let me just give, Pastor Trey was preaching a great message. I mean, it was great. Betty Jean does one little thing over there, and the entire direction changed. I mean, completely changed. There was no sign of what was happening 2 minutes before that. Is that true or wrong? Am I right or wrong? If you're right, you're right. You're right, you're right. I'm right.
You're right.
I'm right. So right. One little thing can change the entire direction of your life. And the wonderful thing about it is that we never know what or when. It just happens. It just goes. It just is part. So we need to deliberately bless those around us, because it does two things. It opens the door for the blessings to come upon them, right? And it changes you on the inside. Let me tell you something you may not know. All those frequencies, Carlos, go ahead and put up the color one. All those frequencies of those that I told you about, the low numbers, shame, guilt, condemnation, they have the lowest frequencies of any emotions. The very, very lowest. Shame is literally the worst thing that you can partake of. That is shaming another person or embarrassing them. That's the worst thing you can do to another person, is to embarrass them, believe it or not. That's worse than physically bruising their body. Truly. To shame somebody brings their joy level of who they are right down to zero. It actually brings it down to 20, which is the lowest of all, shame. So actually, and the higher it goes on the list, the higher it goes on the list of the numbers is the emotions that correspond, like love and joy. They're way, way, way up there on the chart. Shame's like 20, and I think love is like 500 in frequencies. They can actually measure that emotion. They can actually measure it. So here's what I wanted to say. Blessing others. On those low numbers, on the low things, your attention is dominantly inward towards yourself. How about that? Your attention is dominantly focused inward on yourself, on all of those low things. So So Rachel is going to be just fine. I just want to let you know. So all those things on the lowest one, the shame, guilt, condemnation, all the way up to pride, are all the low values. They are all the things that damage you as an individual, and they are all self-focused feelings and emotions. But after you get past pride, and you start moving up the chart past pride, do you know what? They are all outward attentions. Your attention is focused outward from yourself towards others instead of towards yourself. So blessings is way up there on an outward focus for other people. See? Cursings is you're down super low and your focus is on yourself. So we deliberately bless to give to them and to set ourselves free. How many of you heard the story that I told about the vending machine guy? Okay, how many want to hear it again? All right, didn't think I'd get that big a response, but it's great. All right, so here's the thing. I had a guy that I worked with in a vending machine company. I just told this the other night too, so you guys on the internet, forgive me. And we were great friends, and we helped each other load each other's trucks, and we shared routes, and we had overlap, and we would go around and fill these vending machines all the time. This one guy, we had this one account. We had a couple of really big accounts, and we had to do a lot of product every time we had to go there, and this product's heavy. And you got to sometimes go upstairs and long walkways and through security checkpoints and all kinds of things like that. And we would go ahead and turn that off because it's too distracting right now. Oh, you just got it up? All right. Do you remember how to magnify it and make it larger? He's having a difficult time. All right. So anyway, so I thought that this guy was ripping me off by not filling the machines when I had to go there. And so I would have to go and take twice the load and fill these machines. And I thought the other guy was skating. And I was telling him, I never told him. I was thinking to myself, murmur, 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 murmur. That guy's not filling the machines. That guy's not doing his job. He's taking the money and then just locking up the machines. And I'm putting in all the product. And then I have to do all the work. This is not right. God, this is not right. And after a couple weeks of doing that, I started feeling really bad, and it started bothering me so much that I stopped talking to him. I stopped helping him fill his truck. I stopped hanging around. I would go to work to do my stuff when he wasn't there because I was just irritated as snot at him because he's taking advantage of me. Well, it got so bad that I went to my boss because he could tell my attitude was bad. And he says, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, on these accounts, so-and-so is not doing his job in filling machines, and I've got to take all this product in, and it's just taking me forever to do these accounts." And he starts laughing at me. I go, "What are you laughing for?" He goes, "My brother and I used to share this route, and we used to think the exact same thing from each other. We used to think that one wasn't doing the job and the other one was. The truth of the matter is they're great accounts, and they just empty the machines all the time. And they just go through cycles like that. So you're both hauling a lot of product." And I thought, oh, no, that can't be true. So even though he told me the truth, my heart was still suspicious and didn't believe him. My heart still, after the owner told me that's not true, my heart still thought he was doing that to me. Can you believe that? Because I didn't like packing all that stuff in. So I honestly was easier for me to think bad things about him and be disgruntled for packing so much product in than to believe my boss and just do it joyfully. And one day I'm in the truck and it's late at night and I'm getting ready to leave the parking lot of this car dealership. And the Holy Spirit says, "How do you like it?" And I go, "Like what, Lord?" He goes, "Like the way you're feeling right now." I said, "I don't like it at all. I hate it. It's terrible." He says, "Then why don't you try blessing him instead of thinking evil about him?" And it was like a light went on. I never thought of that before. It never crossed my mind to bless somebody that was making my life bad or hard. It never crossed my mind. And so I said, okay. So at first, it was difficult to think of something good to say about him, right? It was difficult at first for me to do that. But as I tried and I thought about it, I started saying, Lord, bless his finances. Lord, every desire that he has in his heart, bring it to pass. Every hope that he has, let him experience it. Let people find him very engaging and wanting to be around him. Let the joy in his life just flourish and grow through a relationship with you. Lord, I ask that when he prays for people, the manifestation of those prayers come instantly for him. And I started turning my tune around. And I started really getting excited to think on what could I say to bless this guy. Lord, I don't want you to just make his car run for a long time. Lord, give him a brand new vehicle. Lord, bring him a wife. In fact, I did prophesy over him, and he did marry the type of woman that I told him he was going to get. It was a word from God. Anyway, he's a missionary, and he married a woman overseas. Anyway, and I just blessed him. I even went so far as to say, Lord, I pray that his flowers are larger in his yard than the neighbor's flowers are. So there's a distinct difference between when somebody sees the neighbor's yard and his yard, they notice the difference, Lord. And I just thought everything I could that blessed him. Here's what happened. He had no idea I was even mad with him. He had no idea. Nothing in his life changed. Within 3 weeks, he was my favorite person on the entire planet. I would pack all that stuff down off of my truck, and I'd be packing it down to these Toyota dealerships. I'm telling you what, I'd be going, Lord, bless him. Give him more, Lord. More of you, Lord. Fill him with your glory, Lord. Answer every one of his prayers. When he lays hands on people, they recover, praise God. Lord, your glory goes with him wherever he goes. He's so anointed. He is so favored, Lord. Sickness can't even come near him, Lord. I would just be busting out to pray for that guy when I was before cursing him. And I got changed. I got set free. My joy came. I had a hop in my step. And I started looking forward to doing those hard accounts. Because I loved blessing him so much. I felt so great when I was doing it. Are you with me? A hose can't help but get wet on the inside. A hose can't help but get wet on the inside. Do you hear me? It flows through you, but the hose gets the benefit of all the water passing through it. Right? And the water's for something else, but the hose gets all the benefit. The Holy Spirit flowing through you by blessing others, you get the residual of that while you're pouring it out on other people. So this blessing sheet. Bless. Think of things. Think of a person that really you don't like them. She already thought of somebody. You might need 2 pages. Make copies. Write a book. I'm serious. If there's anyone that you don't joyfully look forward to seeing, you need to start blessing them. I'm not kidding. Now, how many of you will do it? I don't know. But I'm telling you ways, because nothing in this natural is going to grow you in the spirit. Only what comes out of the spirit is what's going to grow you. This will open you up so that what's in the spirit can flow through you into other people. Now, if you choose not to do it, then it's on you. But I am giving you tools to really open you up for the flow of God to move through you for the benefit of others. Because the higher up on that scale you go, you guys didn't get it working? The higher you go up on that scale, the more your attention is consistently on other people and not on your needs. Consistently. And the more you do it, it takes time. The song in you, the flow in you, the attention, your attention will move off of I need to what can I do for others. It will move. It will literally move. And you will spend your time finding out where you can let the overflow of your life fertilize the world around you in the Spirit and the kingdom of God. That's how you know how high up the scale you're going. And it's up to you and I to do those things. Jesus taught us to do them. Didn't he say that whatsoever thing you pray, believing in your heart that you shall receive it, you will have it? Yeah, can you guys read that? Okay, if you can't, I'll read it. Shame is at the very bottom of it. It's 20. Okay, love is the fifth one from the top or the fourth top. It's 500. Anger is way up from shame. It is 150. Desire, that's not godly desire. That's 125. That's the other kind of desire. That's wantonness. Okay? That's the bad kind of desire. That's, you know, that's the thing that works on you all the time. And you just got to satisfy that thing. As it goes up, see the neutrality at 250? Willingness starts going up. See, everything above pride, it starts with courage. Everything above pride starts moving its attention outward. Willingness, 310. Acceptance, 350. Reason, 400. Love, 500. Look at joy, 540. Peace, that's the peace that I give you, not as men give you. Do I give you peace? The peace of Jesus, 600. And then the revelation of Jesus Christ is 700 to 1,000. And I tell you, at 700 to 1,000, there's nothing, absolutely nothing that you can't do or have. But I'm not, you can't falsely go up this scale. You are where you are. You can't pretend more. The only way to do more is to raise yourself up more through blessing, through thanksgiving, through rejoicing always, by laying down your life for other people, by being in communion with God. In that union, what he is becomes you. And what you are goes away. It doesn't leave you. It just does not exist in his presence. It's just not there. When you turn on the light, darkness doesn't go anywhere. It simply is not. The law of light supersedes the law of darkness. So in the light, there is no darkness. Remember, Jesus is the light of heaven. It's the glory of God that will be so bright that we won't need the sun or the moon. Because the glory of God, you were created for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 17, Father, I gave them my glory. I gave them my glory. It says at the wedding feast when he turned water into wine, it was the first time he revealed his glory. You were given that. Now it's up to you and I to walk in the glory of the Lord, to walk in life and life more abundantly, to walk in joy, not by coveting or desiring joy, but the joy of the Lord, which only comes through fellowship with the Lord as a byproduct of the relationship. And as you do that, the things of the Spirit, the things of the kingdom will automatically give you your needs. And you will be meeting the needs of others automatically by raising yourself up to praise, worship, and acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways. Does that make sense? There's no works in it. Jesus paid it all. He did every bit of it. So therefore, all we can do is believe him and continue to believe him till our hope is fulfilled. It's already true. What's my definition of hope for you? Is that what you wanted, you have, and it is coming. It's already yours, and it's coming. It is. And you believe that. So therefore, we overcome the things of the world. Let me look at one verse. You guys are going to hate this verse. Colossians 1, I'm going to end with this. Am I going over? Oh, I really am. I really don't have time for the verse. Okay, I'll do it anyway. Thank you, Lord. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. You guys know what this is, right? Somebody say yes, please.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. Colossians 2, verses 15, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Ready? So let no one judge you in food or in drink or in regarding of a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grow with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgences of the flesh. It doesn't help at all, not any. So look what he says. Then if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life or our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Listen, it's all about fellowshipping with Jesus. He did it all. It's all about walking in communion with the Holy Spirit, having a clear conscience, being open intuitively through the divine flow of God to give you revelation. He gives it to you. You don't earn it. You can't work for it. It comes out of being available in a real, honest relationship with him. That's where all the power comes from. That's where all the solution is. It's not on you trying to lay hold of anything. It's already true. We need to resign ourselves to the truth. And since it's true, we are thankful. We rejoice. We pray for others. We speak faith. We bless. Because it's true. Are you with me? Go to Romans 16, my last verse. Romans 16, 20. Because Jesus already disarmed principalities and powers, right? Okay. As you continue to do this, and you grow in this way of living your life in the presence of God, which is all you can do, because it says, in all that you do, do it unto the Lord. So here's what it says. And God, and the God of peace, will crush Satan under your feet shortly. But I thought Jesus defeated him already. Guess what? Jesus did defeat him. But he's not contained yet. He's not. He's under Jesus' feet. He is. But God will put him under our feet one day. Until then, we still have to tread out the grain. We still have to set our mind on things above. We still have to turn our attention off of the carnal, off of the natural, and turn it on to the spiritual. We still have to do it. Because though he's been defeated, he still has power to sway people through beguiling, through lying, through emotions, through situations, all kinds of ways. He's still affecting human life. He still affects human life. There'll be a day when he's completely under your feet. God's going to put him there. And he says he's going to crush Satan under our feet. Okay? But until then, we need to put our attention on the things of God. We need to be the one that sets our minds on things above. We need to know that there's evil in the world and its desire is for us. Its desire is for us. It really is. And we need to be the ones that shut it down. Are you with me? Is this overwhelming? No. Good. You guys are awesome. Okay. I went 2 minutes over. So thank you. And I'm glad that everyone made it here today that was supposed to be here. Love you guys. I encourage you to make your own lists. I encourage you to really do these things because that's how you will excel in your spiritual growth. It really will help you to really excel if you do it. Are you with me? I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you for everyone here today, Lord. I thank you for everyone that can hear my voice. Father, I just give you all the praise and all the glory. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, you did it all. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're God with us on the earth, and we acknowledge you on the earth. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge that you are with us and that you never leave us and you never forsake us, Holy Spirit. You never, ever leave. You never, ever pull away. Father, I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to be aware, practice the presence, be tuned into Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I just ask that every single person that can hear my voice right now would have a more intimate relationship with you. That whatever you can do, Holy Spirit, that you would quicken people, that you would nudge them, that you would give them a signal, that you would give them a word, that you would give them an unction, that you would bring desire inside of them to know you even more and to follow you, that your manifestations would increase in everyone's life that can hear me, Lord. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you open the consciousness and the awareness of people's attention and the minds, that they would purpose and determine to know you more, to actually desire you above all things, Father. Father, people are so busy these days and they are so distracted by so many things, Lord. I ask that you give each one a time, a place, where they can come and really be with you. That it's like going into their own closet, Lord. Whether it's a room, a vehicle, whatever it is, Lord. Even the restroom. If they can truly turn off everything and turn off all of their attention in this world and give you 100% of their thoughts, their feelings, and themselves, Lord Jesus. That, Father, that we would have a genuine, intimate, two-way fellowship and relationship, Lord. That our hearts can truly go from wherever we are now up that scale of intimacy with you, that we are more like you. And then when we get there, that we're more like you. And then when we continue, we are more like you. And that more of us is washed away and more of you remains. that whatever can be shaken will be shaken, Lord. That only that which is of you would remain, Lord. Father, you say you are consuming fire in Hebrews. Burn away, Lord. Burn away the love of this world. Burn away the love of fame and notoriety, Father. Burn away the lust and the pleasures of the flesh, Father. That our focus would be on the kingdom of God. Because you said if our focus is anywhere else, that the love of the Father is not in us, Lord. And Father, we desire you. We desire overflow, Father. So Father, whatever you can do, in the name of Jesus, manifest yourself in these people. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.